horror fans, it's me, David Howard Thornton, Art the Clown himself, coming to you live from Burbank, California, and you're listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Hey, we're not doing an interview this week. We're actually reviewing a movie this time. And the movie's called Heretic. It's written and directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, starring Hugh Grant as Mr. Reed, Sophie Thatcher as Sister Barnes, Chloe East as Sister Paxton, and Topher Grace as Elder Kennedy. It's crazy to think that Topher Grace is considered elder. Anyway.
He does look elderly in the movie, though.
Well, yeah, he's getting up there. It's crazy. But that's time. People get old.
Yeah, they do. Plot of the movie, you should know.
Fuck you. So plot of the movie is two young religious. That's another movie.
I was about to congratulate you for not fucking the intro up, but here we are.
I was so close. Here we are. I'm not editing that. That's a fun one. Plot of the movie is two young religious women are drawn into a game of cat and mouse in the house of a strange man. Cat and a mouse in a house. Nice.
Stop it.
So, fine. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I got to do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you got to look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Heretic?
This movie got a ton of hype, and I mean, the initial trailers, I knew right away that I wanted to watch it because it seems like we're on a tear this year of films that have pretty well-known actors playing crazy people.
We are, yeah.
You know, Josh Hartnett, this, and there was another one we reviewed that was pretty fucked up. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was, but I enjoyed this a lot. It was mostly a mindfuck, and that's a good thing. It was definitely a bit slow at times, but the third act was so batshit insane that it left me gutted as the credits started rolling. Plus, I know we'll talk about this more, but Hugh Grant's performance was Oscar-worthy.
Yeah, well, Hugh Grant is a hell of an actor anyways. I've always kind of liked this stuff, but he tends to do more rom-com, drama-type stuff.
Because what we were talking about before with, like, Josh Hartnett. They don't do this type of stuff.
You're right. Josh Hartnett tends to do rom-coms. I mean, that's what his bread and butter was when he was younger. And then he did like a smaller role in Sin City, which is one of my personal favorite movies of all time. I love Sin City, man.
This is driving me crazy. What was that other movie we did that had someone that doesn't really play characters? Was it James McAvoy, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say that because he did Harry Wendell Crumb in Split, but then he did, Speak No Evil. I can't remember the character's name, but you know what I'm saying. So I would say really those are like the two horror movies he's done. Other than that, he does like dramas or action flicks. And actually, I've known him to do a lot of action flicks over the years. So maybe that's now his bread and butter. But he's starting to dabble in the horror territory, and good for him. You know, maybe one day we'll have him on the podcast. Here we are talking about James McAvoy again. Oh my God.
Never ends.
2025, we got to get him on.
Are we trending yet? We got to get James McAvoy on 30 Screams or Less trending. Because we talk about him enough.
I know, man. If he got a dollar for every time we talked about him, I mean, he'd be richer than he is now. But
yeah, I was going to say, he would be richer.
Yeah, he'd be richer, but he's pretty rich at the moment. So I love this movie. I thought it was great. I love the ideology behind the whole thing when talking about all these religions. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, you know what? He makes a lot of fucking sense. Because all of these religions, and I kind of know this, they all tend to have a similar ideal. These are the things you don't do, otherwise you go into hell or some sort of place where you're punished. There's always one entity that you're praying to, and they all resurrected. It's almost like the same story told different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the idea of religion. Ultimately, we do find out that the main religion is control. And I'm like, shit, you're fucking right, aren't you?
Yeah, the part when he's in, when they're in the chapel and Mr. Reed is explaining all of this to the sisters,
mm-hmm.
fucking bone chilling.
It was so awesome because it's almost informational. You're learning so much from it because it sounds insane listening to it, but all of these Bible versions, I mean, there's like the New Testament and then there's Catholicism. Quote me if I'm wrong, obviously, but a lot of these have different aspects to telling the story of Christ and God and everything. And he was right. He's going through all these games, these board games, and it's like, this is the original one. And then Monopoly came out, which is a carbon copy of that one, but like in a different fashion. And then another game came out and it's like the same spiel, but different look, different this, you know, all that. So I thought that was really interesting for him to kind of go through that whole process about everything is kind of a copy of a copy.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And the comparisons of the board games were awesome. And this part mm-hmm. also, when he starts talking about the music,
yeah,
he's
yeah.
making those comparisons about different things. And I never knew the whole Lana Del Rey and some lawsuit she was in. I think it was Radiohead, right?
Yeah, it was Radiohead. And then Radiohead apparently stole a song from the Beatles,
yeah.
right? Yeah. So I thought that was pretty wild. I mean, a lot of music tends to be derived from the Beatles. That's what they say, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's like everyone's influenced by the Beatles. And then everyone that's influenced by the Beatles, like they're like the next crop and they're influenced by those bands and so forth. That's how it is, though. You learn from influence. You just do your own retelling and hope that you don't fucking rip people off. And in the case of those board games, clearly ripoffs. And you know what I found interesting, too, is that he was talking about the main creator of that board game not getting their due. And I'm like, well, isn't the movie kind of giving them their due and giving them the credit for like making this first and then Monopoly came out?
I mean, kind of, but the person or persons that created the original game are probably long dead by now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure at this point. Or was it Hasbro's or Milton Brothers or Mattel? I don't know. It's one of those bigger toy companies. They probably have the rights to it anyway, so it really doesn't even matter. Anyways, Monopoly is a better name than whatever that first one was. It's more memorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
makes sense.
You still
to
talk
me.
About it to this day.
Of course. It's fun. It's a nightmare to play with some people. I remember playing like a six-hour game once with me, my brother, and my grandmother.
Yeah, they're never ending.
They really are, because you can always trade and sell your properties and buy more property and all this stuff. And it's just a fucking ongoing thing sometimes. But it's fun as hell. This is a horror podcast. I mean, I could probably talk about Monopoly for a while, but I don't know shit about money, man. I suck. I'm fucking broke. So you're right. This movie did start off pretty slow. And I think the idea behind that, though, is simply to build tension and to inform us of religion. And a lot of the stuff that he was asking is probably things that I would ask, too, if I was to speak with someone coming to my house trying to promote their religion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are all valid questions, one of them being polygamy. And he's like talking about that. And the idea behind polygamy was to grow the church by having kids born within the church. Little fucked up. It's really messed up when you hear that shit.
Yeah, but it's real.
It's a real thing, and apparently they kind of stopped doing it because it wasn't fucking necessary. I mean, it was back in the day, but now people do it because they're fucking creepers. fucking weirdos. And for some reason, like, they can't just, like, girls can't be smoking hot. They have to look like they're from the fucking, dude, I don't know, the Old West? Like, even further back, like, wagon era. You know, where they're just fucking going around searching for land, hunting buffalo.
I don't like have any clue what you're going on about, Steve.
You haven't seen these girls?
No.
Oh, man. I'm going to send you a screenshot later. And they're pretty culty. They look like a cult.
Is this your TikTok timeline algorithm? Because I don't want to fuck my algorithm up.
Oh, I'm fucking it up right now. Your phone is listening to me.
I guess I deserve it for what I did to your Instagram reel.
Oh my God, man. My Instagram's so fucked up. It's just nothing but people getting hurt. Oh my God.
I was at work today and I'm sitting in the kitchen on lunch and I got that video that you sent me of that kid bouncing his head off the slide.
Oh my God.
And I laughed out loud and someone asked me, they were like, Corey, are you laughing at a kid getting hurt? I'm like, actually, yes.
Yeah, I am. Wow, they know you all too well.
Or the guy with his Achilles popping.
Oh, so gross.
So loud. Oh, I turned that one up real loud.
Yeah, I think it was just an old man. He like tried to do the whole climbing up the ramp, whatever, and popped his ankle or popped his Achilles tendon. Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
I know you do.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I keep
bones
sending them.
Cracking, joints popping. I don't know. Whatever, anything that makes a snap type sound from the body, just not a fan.
You got to be a bit desensitized to it at this point for all this shit I send you.
I am. I'm starting to get a little desensitized. And I am. It's starting to get to this point where I see it in my feed now and I'm like, oh, that's funny.
You know what's popping up on mine a lot now? Drive-by shootings.
Oh my God, on Instagram?
I don't know why, but Instagram's a dark place.
Apparently, I didn't realize Facebook was fine with that shit.
I don't know, but I love it. I can't shit on TikTok.
You could get that shit on X. X has like all sorts of fucking insanity.
Yeah, but X is toxic and I hate going there.
You know, I've noticed that.
If it wasn't for this podcast, I probably would have deleted that shit a while ago.
Fair enough. Honestly, X is not even really that great for us anyways. So,
oh, cool. I mean, deleting it.
Yeah. No, I share anyways and I use our thing, whatever, but hey, you just got to cover all bases. That's what I do. So let's get back to the movie. All
right.
Because we're doing our little tangents. I assure you, we love this movie. We're just going into these little tangents because for a few weeks now, we've been having interviews and we haven't got our licks in.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't actually just shot the shit. Well, we did with Howard Thorne and Billy, but it's a little different when it's just us.
Yeah, it's a little different because we go off on these ridiculous tangents and we try to stay in our lane a little bit when it comes to the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we try not to go off the fucking deep end. But those were all great interviews. If you haven't listened to them, go back, check them out. It's fucking great stuff. I love it. We'll do more interviews, but I love doing the half-hour movie reviews. So we're going to go back to this half-hour movie review. And
for now.
I do love... For now, until we go off and talk about Korn or whatever.
Or James McAvoy again.
Or James McAvoy again. Or Ari Lehman. Let's just get the hits in. I don't know. We'll say fucking... What's the other one? Porridge.
Yeah.
We'll just get them all done. There. Get them all in. So I love how this movie starts off. These girls are just talking about ridiculous porn shit. And they're talking about condoms and like magnums or just regular size. I'm thinking to myself, no, those things are like, you can fit them around your forearm.
What?
You ever see those things?
No.
No?
I never had that problem, Steve.
Nah, it's a good problem to have. I don't have that problem. But they fucking like, they're big. They are fucking, I don't know. They're just like, I hear they're just massive. But not the biggest seller. Anyone that's buying them, they probably think, yeah, I got this size. And they really don't. They just
And their best James Hetfield voice.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that. This, yeah, baby, got my magnums. And it's like, just wraps around everything. It's going up their leg and stuff. It's big. It's fucking massive. It's like a balloon, just that big. I don't know, man. I have never used one.
We're talking about dicks. I thought I was talking about dicks a lot in the movie.
They were talking about dicks a lot in this. And for two sisters, so they're not actually sisters. They're going around, they're promoting the Lord and like, I think Mormon. They're Mormon.
Yeah, they're Mormon.
Yeah. So they go into these houses trying to talk about their religion, their chapter, whatever it is. They make their way to Mr. Reed, who, you look at the house and it's some Hansel and Gretel shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get cooked into a pie. Right,
fuck
it was a
yeah, they are.
Pie, but...
I mean, they fucked up. They should have been dropping shit on the way there, but it didn't even matter. The door got locked behind them anyways. And I thought this was like really cool because there's so much tension. And I've noticed this is that when religious people come to your house, they need to have a certain person there. So, for instance, I was dating this girl once and she was Jehovah's Witness. Nice enough people, don't get me wrong. So I was there and They couldn't come in unless, like, I was there. Like, they couldn't just go and see her. They would have to go in if there was a guy there. So, very weird. Like, it has to be multiple people and, like, even numbers, stuff like that. So, when these girls went in, they needed to make sure that the wife was there. Because they needed, like, I guess, even numbers and for there to be another person of the same gender. So, that's what was happening. They go in there. They kept asking, oh, where's your wife? And he's like, oh, she's making a blueberry pie. I'll go get her. And he's like, oh, yeah, she's not ready yet.
You knew that's he was straight up lying the second he said that, too.
For sure. And he just brings out a random candle. And he's like, oh, you smell the blueberry pie now? And that's when he goes, like, all right, I'll be right back. He goes and does something. I can't remember. But it got into a really odd conversation. And that's kind of what I was talking about with the polygamy. And he's just asking questions about the overall religion because of the similarities on all that stuff. And valid questions absolutely make sense for someone that's, like, interested in a religion. And he's more interested in pretty much all of them because he's trying to figure out the true religion, which he does eventually figure out. And it does make sense. So as I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking he's talking about the one true religion, things like that, and he's trying to figure out why their religion is important. Based on the whole motif of the house and stuff like that, I'm thinking maybe he's talking Wicca, maybe he's talking Satanism. I think we're, like, maybe going into that realm because that tends to be geared towards evil. It's usually witches or demons and things like that. So that's where I'm thinking this is going, but it doesn't go that route. So he's hanging out there. He's talking to them. He's got a candle in front of them and everything seems fine. But the girls are really freaked out.
Yeah, they just want to leave. They kind of sense at this point that they're fucked.
Yeah, they're starting to see some fuckery happening. So he walks out again and, like, he's trying to lead the girls to the back room where they can leave because the door is, I guess, on an automatic timer where it fucking closes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like,
I love how he says that too. Like, he can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's a little fucked up.
Which you find later in the movie that he can unlock and lock it whenever he wants.
Yeah, because Topher Grace came to the door and he was able to unlock it, no problem. And, you know, he was able to talk to him and make sure that he didn't hear the girls. Not that he would be able to hear them anyways, because this whole basement type situation that's bound to happen. Now, they're starting to walk their way to this back room because they need to grab their jackets so that they can get the fucking keys for the bike and get the hell out of there. So they start walking, man, and I shit you not, I'm thinking we're going into demon territory now because of that statue that I thought was just some sort of almost like a nurse type deal from the Conjuring series, you know, kind of hidden in dark. You remember that with the fucking eyes that were slightly glowing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fucking creepy. Absolutely creepy. And they start walking towards it. I'm like, I would hard pass that one, but okay.
Nope.
Nope. That's so much nope for me. So start walking and they find out, okay, it's just a statue. But they make it into that room that's kind of looks like a church. And this is where he goes into that whole spiel with the board games and the music. And he's singing Radiohead and all this stuff. And
then the two doors.
Very creepy. And the two doors. And he's weird because he's not trying to, like, kill them or anything. It's kind of like a cat and mouse game, I guess. I wouldn't really think of it that way. But it's more like he's just researching them. And that's his idea, is that...
Well, yeah, because
he's saying to... Yeah, go ahead.
He spends all of his time up in his little house there researching religions, various religions.
Right.
And now he has two people here who follow a religion. He's essentially just picking their brain.
That's exactly it. He's picking their brain, and he's trying to see how dedicated they are to their religion. So he has this door of believe and, like, I think it's not believe or non-believer or something like that. But it's kind of like your red pill, blue pill type deal. So one of them is trying to go through the door where she thinks that's going to appease him just so they can get the hell out of there. And the other girl's, like, strict on faith and is just like, nope, I'm going to go through this door because I have faith and I'm not going to waver my faith. And they decide to go down that door only to find out both doors lead to this fucking basement. And naturally, he locks them in. Which is to be expected, mm-hmm. because it's fucking creepy. It's a creepy basement. You gotta leave them in there.
And then they meet the prophet.
Yes. And this is where I'm thinking, okay, are we getting into supernatural territory where he somehow found this ancient prophet that knows the true religion? But the idea is that he feeds her and there's, like, a poison in there. And so his theory is that if there is a true religion, she would die and come back to life within a couple minutes. And it doesn't happen, or so we think. So they're trying to get the hell out of there. They're trying to use the carpet to get like this matchbook, which, whoops, too fucking thick to slide under the drawer. Yep. But they go back down and they see that the lady has slightly moved when she's like laying face down in food. So they're like, is she alive?
I love this part, particularly like when he was making her eat, because it was a blueberry pie.
Yeah.
That he was making her eat, which is the callback to the beginning of the movie.
Yep,
but the pie is poisoned and he's making Sister Paxton and Barnes watch this quote unquote prophet eat this pie, knowing it's poisoned.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole idea, because now he's just kind of analyzing. He's doing this research to try to see if she's going to come back to life, because he's had her this whole time. And I don't know why he would wait so long, why he would just wait for these random two teenage girls to have this experiment on.
Maybe it was like he needed someone of the Mormon faith. Like, he was waiting for someone of the Mormon faith. Maybe the people in his basement were a collection of different religions that have come to his house.
Good point. I didn't even think of that. That makes so much sense, because now he's just collecting them all, you know, like it's Pokemon.
Yeah.
So he's collecting all these people from different religions and they're just letting him. And that has to go with control again. But I'm going to say this, though, is that the prophet then moved and whispered something to the girl. I couldn't make out what it said, though. And then Hugh Grant's character kills her, right? So it kills the actual one. So I will say this. Obviously, the prophet doesn't make it, but we eventually do find out it was some fuckery. It was magic, because he had the prophet, killed that person, but there was another person dressed just like them that was hidden. It's one of the people that he's collecting. And at one point, which kind of blew my mind, this came out of nowhere, by the way, where he cuts the girl's throat. It happened so fast.
Oh, I know. That was quite a twist, because you didn't expect any of this to happen. And all of a sudden, you think that, was it Paxton? Was it Paxton that had a knife or something?
No, I mean, Mr. Reed had a box razor blade. He had a box cutter, and that's what he used. And it just happened so fast, and he just cut her throat. And that was Sister, which sister
Barnes.
Was that? But yeah, it was Sister Barnes.
But you kind of don't see it. You hear it. You just hear the slash, and you think that Reed got cut. But no, he cut Barnes.
Yeah, it happens so fast. And I'm like, this is a pretty main character for this to happen. And I'm thinking the other girl's fucked too at this point, because there's no way out of there, really. So he wanted to test on her because of her faith. He's like, okay, well, if she dies, she should be coming back. But she wasn't pure because she had a contraceptive. And I don't know if you saw that, but like there's
the idea of arm.
Yeah, cut it out of her arm, because they do like the implants for contraceptives. And that's what she had. So for birth control.
Oh, that was fucking gross too, because he cut her arm open and then he sticks his finger in the wound and he's just digging around inside of her arm.
Yeah, and then he pulled it. He's like, oh, nope, that's a muscle. That type.
He like twiddles it around in his fingers. Nope, that's a muscle.
Yep. Yeah, you have to go to like the doctor to get that shit implanted, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was just digging in there, digging around, and finally gets it and throws it out. Or he shows her. He's like, do you know what this is? And, you know, the other sister knew what it was. But I don't think it even matters, because she just believed in the faith so much. And who gives a shit? A lot of times girls use birth control to, I guess, maintain their flow type deal. Their menstrual cycle. That's the better word. But now he's talking all sorts of crazy shit, Matrix shit, where he's talking simulation hypotheses. It got really weird. Like, are we all part of a simulation? Are we just people that are fucking hanging out in a pod? Just like you would see in the Matrix. I'm like, man, is this where we're going now? This is fucking going off the rails. So there's like a whole slew of ideology happening in this movie. And this is where he's just trying to figure out what the fuck is happening, like with religion. So we find out that there are actually two prophets. One died while another one took her place, given the idea that she was resurrected. And that it was a magic trick. The girl ends up going down this trap door underneath the table, and Reed follows her along, but when she gets down there, she's going through these rooms, and I'm thinking to myself, one true religion, Satanism, because the room that she's going through, very satanic looking. If you ask me, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you thought the same thing.
No, definitely looked satanic.
Yeah, very satanic looking. You had the pentagram symbol and everything, but that usually goes with paganism, I believe. So a lot of things happening. Then there's a bunch of people locked in cages. And this is what we were kind of talking about earlier, was like all of these people that maybe came by to promote their religion, and he just locked them up and put them away. And this is where he starts talking about the one true religion being control, because these people believed in their faith so much that they just simply went with whatever he did. And he was able to control them and let them stay in cages, and they just reside there now under his control.
I love that. Circle back to the beginning of the movie. He makes this comment where he's like kind of subtly shitting on the whole idea of religion because people believe something that someone else told them to believe.
I know. It's like a game of telephone.
Yeah. And he said that, and I was like, holy shit. I'm not a religious person, so I was thinking, bam, he's kind of right when you put it that way.
He really is. It's hearsay. They're all written in different texts and stories told in different sense and different, like, it's all like interpretation kind of deal. Mm-hmm. At least that's the way I see it. I mean, a lot of them have good points regarding how to be a good human being, which is perfectly fine, but a lot of them do have a lot of lunacy to them. But that's the idea, is that people are telling these stories in these books, and it's going to the next generation and the next generation. And that's why you have all these revisions and such like that. And we don't know what the true one is. We really don't. I mean, it could be buried somewhere in fucking Israel, for all we know. Who knows? But then again, they could have said, just to control people, there's an entity in the sky that watches everything that you do, and they created you, and you have to follow their rules. And people are like, well, okay, sounds good to me, that type deal. But who knows? No one knows until they, I think, die, and then they see what happens.
When you die, you die.
Yeah, when you die, you die, you just see black. But, okay, I'm not going to go down that fucking rabbit hole.
Everyone tuned out.
Yeah, no, because that's when it's like, okay, when you die and you see black, you're still alive because you're seeing black. That's where, like, where I would go down the rabbit hole of talking about, I don't know, that no one's really ever dead. Who knows? So she ends up stabbing Mr. Reed in the throat with, it was something that she had. It was a paper opener or a paper.
It was a letter opener that she was given earlier in the movie by Barnes. She kind of kept with her the whole time.
Yeah, she kept it the whole time, stabbed in the neck big time. And later on, obviously, she gets stabbed in the stomach. And I'm thinking to myself, she's fucked. There's no chance she's getting out of this.
Dude,
because go ahead.
No, I thought she was. Like that whole scene when she stabs him. And he's like, he was dragging his body across the floor and he's bleeding out and he's got his box cutter in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like he's crawling over there because he wants to finish the job and kill her.
Yeah.
And then he gets fucking smacked in the side of the head by a returning Barnes with a fucking Art the Clown's weapon, the table leg with the nails and stuff coming through it.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So it's almost cathartic because she came back from the dead to save her because her friend was just sitting there praying, believing in her faith. And her friend came back to life, killed Reed, and then proceeded to die. It's almost like a miracle. And that could have been the last thing that he saw, was that like an actual miracle happened that prevented him from doing something bad.
Yeah. And then earlier, I particularly liked the closing frame of the movie because earlier in the film, they were talking about religion and Barnes makes a comment on how when she dies, she wants to come back as a butterfly. Did you catch this?
I did catch this.
And then the end of the movie is a butterfly landing on Paxton's finger. And then the movie just ends.
Yeah. Great way to end it. Great way to tie things all together. I had no additional questions on the movie. Nothing felt
like a plot hole.
Yeah.
You can't make a plot hole segment in this movie or in this episode.
No, I couldn't think of any. Did you?
No. No.
No.
They tied it all together. And especially like that butterfly thing was very nice.
Yeah. And he was starting to talk about butterfly effect too. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going all over the place with ideologies. But yeah, that's a whole different ball game. But I think we can start getting into our review here. Corey, what did you think of Heretic?
5 out of 5. Easy for me. I love this movie so much. Lots of things that make you think, which I typically don't enjoy because I like mindless fun in my films. But this was so done so well that it didn't bother me at all. I love the cinematography. The score was amazing. And the use of lighting in this movie, especially once they got to the basement, was next level.
Yeah, it started off with very bright, very happy. And then you've noticed it started changing based on the scenario that they're in. Obviously, it was when it got down to the basement, we're talking dark blues. But when they're upstairs or outside, very bright, very happy looking. They're just two sisters enjoying their faith and trying to spread the word of God. So I thought that was really cool. Yes, the score was fantastic. I would love to hear that someday on vinyl. I'm sure Waxworks will put it out. We'll just have to wait and see if they haven't already.
They haven't yet.
Yeah. Well, give it like a couple of weeks and we'll probably see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So same for me. I think I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 on this as well. I couldn't think of anything that would justify it getting it to a 4 other than it starting pretty slow. And I think that was just merely to build tension. This movie doesn't have a ton of religious ideologies, and the overall premise of this movie is that the underlying reason for religion is control, and that control is the one true religion. Initially, I was thinking of Satanism because of some of the imagery, but even Satanism involves a sense of control. I'll have to ask my bassist on this one because he's part of the Church of Satan. Funny fact.
I just did some quick research here.
Yeah?
You can get the vinyl. It does exist on A24's website.
Oh, do you have to sign up for their monthly subscription deal to get it?
I don't know, but I'm going to look into this a little bit. It is a pre-order, but there's apparently Sophie Thatcher has a cover of Knocking on Heaven's Door on here.
Oh, that's
cool. Did she sing that in the movie?
I didn't even realize she did.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Blueberry pie colored vinyl.
Oh, that's fun.
I might have to pre-order this.
So I'm going to go back into the rest of my whole spiel here. So the performances were compelling. Hugh Grant was great as the antagonist, and that kept giving you the idea that they have free will to leave when really this whole exercise and experiment of control, and he wanted to try it on two girls, spreading a different variation of the word of Jesus Christ. So the whole time he was giving them the sense that they have free will to get out of there. And that's one thing I've noticed is that there are a lot of talks about God giving people free will. Like, he creates us in his image and then gives us free will to be either good or douchebags. So that's the whole idea. He gives us this ability to make the right decisions, the right choice. And then after that, it's kind of weird. It gets a little dicey when, like, he will smite us if we do something bad, or, you know, if you don't believe in him, you might go to hell. All sorts of weird stuff. So it's hard to really be a good Christian or Catholic or whatever unless you're really hardcore about it. But I thought this was a very smart movie. The premise was very unique. So it's nice to see some more originality towards the end of the year. And obviously, I enjoyed the score as well. But this has been a great year for horror, man.
Oh, it really has. You know, and hopefully he keeps getting better.
Yeah,
you know, 2025's got some. I want to see Nosferatu. That would have been the one that I would have wrapped the year up with. But I'm not going to the movies to see it. So I'll wait till I can watch it at home.
Fair enough. Did you see that they have like a Nosferatu bucket that's like a coffin?
Mm-hmm. The popcorn bucket.
That's sick.
Yeah, I saw someone follows us posted it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone that follows us posted it on social media.
Well, shit. I would love to see that thing. I'll have to browse around the people that follow us. You know, there's like 10 of them. So,
yeah, you won't have to look very hard.
No, we have a pretty decent following. I mean, everyone should just follow us all over social media. Facebook's lovely. I didn't even think Facebook was as nice to us, but apparently it is. Apparently Facebook likes us. Thank you, Facebook. But great movie. I will say this. You'll be hearing this episode in 2025. But the horror movies that have come out in 2024, just to name a few, Heretic, The Substance, Speak No Evil. Oh, God, man. There's so many. You have to be able to name a few. Terrifier 3, just a bunch. It was a great year for horror. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.